You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and David Leo joined us in the studio. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Jason.
It's good to have you here, and you'll be here for today and the next 3 days.
Yeah, good to be here.
It's been a few weeks since I've had you in the studio, but it's good to have you back. You've been
It doesn't feel that way, but
yeah, it does for me.
Yeah, there's been a lot under the bridge. Yeah, there's been a lot happening. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in. And this week we're going to be looking at some interesting topics or interesting content.
Yep.
Where we're going to get into a little bit of, I guess, historical theology. Is that what you'd call it?
Yeah, even flirts with the ideas of philosophy, but we don't want to get, we'll get to how that's so important in understanding God and the Bible.
So we're looking at law, or grace, freedom, law, and God's character.
Yep.
And how that all fits with how we understand God and how we understand salvation and other things.
So, that's right.
It's good to have you here and good to have you come and use your advanced theological training to help us understand some of this stuff. So,
yeah, well, this is a big deal. Oh, sorry, can I launch into it?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah?
Okay. So I mentioned earlier, it's a big topic because somewhere along the lines, I reckon around 7 or 8 years old, you start understanding the concept of time and people and how things have to be planned and whatnot. And eventually you start asking the question, the big questions, when you get to your early teens, who am I? Mm. Why am I the way I am? And where do I come from? And where am I going? You know, like what's happening here? And I want to plug in really quickly, and I don't want to deviate, but in a couple of weeks, I'm going to Samoa. We're doing an evangelism over there with some young people that are getting trained up. And my family are joining me later on. And there's something miraculous. I believe it has something to do with the way that God created us because, we have an affiliation to our land. But I'm looking forward to my kids being in Samoa, and they're going to experience something that they can't explain with their brains or their mouths. But there's going to be this, why does this feel like home to me?
And this is your original home.
I wasn't even born there.
Oh, you weren't born there?
No, okay. I went there when I was 15.
Okay.
And I had this, why do I feel like I belong here? You know, how does...
And this is your parents' home.
This is my parents' home. Mm-hmm. But all their stories and everything started to join dots, whatnot. But as a 15-year-old who's looking for answers, I'm already asked the question, what's my purpose? Mm. And these are the big questions. And all these massive questions come down to our understanding of, do we have free will or has everything been planned for us? You know, that's one of the big questions I had as a young person. You know, has all this been already set out for us? And that philosophical argument.
That is a philosophical argument because many people, think about, are we just in this simulation where it's just like a big computer game and the Matrix type stuff? You know, people, serious people, intellectual minds think about this stuff.
Yeah. I remember listening to a big scientist thing. What's his name? Tyson DeGrasse. Is that his name?
DeGrasse. Yep.
DeGrasse.
Yeah. Yep.
And, another big name. Oh, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Elon Musk talks about being in a simulation. So all these big minds, they're still trying to work out.
Yeah.
Is it free will or has it already been determined for us?
Yeah.
And so those big questions.
And is it really even real?
That's right. That's right. So you throw into the works Jesus Christ who came and shifted the whole paradigm of our worldviews. And, before him, Plato and Aristotle were asking these questions. Jesus comes through. Says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now we have to ask the question, how, so Jesus is God, came in our time frame and said, you know, and died on the cross and said that anyone who comes to me, we're going to talk about this later on, anyone comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. And now we have to ask the question again, do we have a decision in the matter, or is Jesus already, you know, has he already, he's already put everything into play. What does that mean for me? You know, and that's why it's important to have this discussion that we're having now, because all these things, how we understand God, and is it all, there's these two big questions when it comes to free will and determinism. How we live our lives. Are we going to be people that free will, free to do whatever you want? Just enjoy life, find happiness, and don't worry about how others talk about you or feel about you, as long as you're happy, right? That's, do we do that? Or are we going to live a life of being accountable, that we are accountable to our fellow person, that we are accountable to the resources that we have?
And or we're accountable to something greater than us.
Correct. And so for the purposes of our discussions for the next, for today and for the next 3 days, we're going to talk, we're going to say the first one is what in the, in the church or the Christian discussions, we call that grace. And then for the other part, we're going to call it law, rules, and things like that. Grace being, is it okay for me to call it kindness? We kind of interpret that kindness now, don't we?
Yeah. I did a program recently with Henry Higgins, and we looked at the concept of grace. And initially, it seems like grace offers undeserved mercy and forgiveness. But it's more than that as well, because it actually seems to be something in grace that has the ability to transform us as well. So,
there's so much truth to that, you know. And you know, this type of view, it's not exclusive to the church or to the history of Christianity or to philosophy. This is something that every single one of us have lived through and actually try to balance, you know, whether you're aware or not, how much do I lean towards grace and how much do I lean towards law, or how much do I lean towards being kind and releasing the leash, or being, arbitrary?
In terms of rules.
Rules, being tyrannical and holding that leash tight, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, how much do you let go and bring down and as a.
And we see it in societies. You know, there are some who want to relax all the laws and the rules to make life more free. And there are others who believe in the rules to keep society running well.
Right, okay. Have you got examples that you're thinking of?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I immediately thought of history. I thought of the communism of, you know.
Well, that I would see dictatorships and communist systems as arbitrary rules.
Yep. Like extreme.
We're talking about extreme, but also arbitrary, you know, like, well, who makes the rules sort of thing.
I just thought of Woodstock.
but I'm thinking of cases where I know that in certain places in the US, I think it's in California, where they've relaxed the rules so that, you know, crimes of theft under a certain value.
Oh, I've seen some news footage of that.
When you reduce the, basically they're considered a, what do you call it? A misdemeanor, not a felon.
Yes.
And so misdemeanors tend not to really go anywhere in terms of, they don't bother prosecuting them. And so you remove the rules for petty theft and all of a sudden petty theft becomes right.
Okay, those are good examples, I reckon.
Yeah. And so it's meant to help society feel freer and not be hung up in law and fighting, you know, fighting court cases and all that sort of thing. But in fact, it tends to lead to anarchy and chaos. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's even closer to home. I watched these two teens walk into the shop and then they just grabbed a couple of cans, energy drinks from the aisle and walked out. Like it was their fridge, you know, and one of the workers started following them and telling them, "Hey, return that." And I could tell by the way he was talking to them, he named them. And so I was like, "Well, wait, this is a
they know them. They know who they are." Yeah.
And when they came back, and I said to him, "Well, how come you did that. You think, oh, I'm just trying to encourage them to return it because there's nothing I can do to.
Yeah. And that's the thing that apparently even the security guards and things.
That's right. Can't do anything.
They can't do anything.
Yeah.
I have seen in some occasions where the police are standing outside talking to a group of youths who have clearly stolen things from the shop. Whether they've actually done anything about it, I'm not sure. But it sort of brings up this question of rules and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And are they good for relationships? Are they bad for relationships?
Right, right. You know? And that question is important because it happens to us at work. You know, we question that all the time. Like if the boss is treating you a certain way and treating others differently, do I address this? Do I hold him accountable or hold her accountable? Or do I just let it slide? Because, you know, it happens to everyone.
Mm.
It happens at school when things are going wrong there. You know, like, what do I do? What do I do in this? Should I tell my friends that stealing somebody's lunch is wrong? Or do I just go along with it? And, you know, because to be gracious, I don't want to lose my friends and I don't want to be mean to them. So I won't say anything. More closer to home, right? Oh, Jason, I just realized it's my 21st anniversary today.
Today?
Today.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
Thank you. Even in marriages, right? How much do we lean towards just being kind and treating our spouse as best as we can and then not holding them accountable? Or opposite, how much do you hold them accountable? And I'll give a quick example. My wife... actually, we were talking about this on Saturday night. There has never been a time, and she mentioned this to me, she said, you know, Dave, you've never embarrassed me in public.
Mm.
You know, I've never pulled her up of anything, you know, and I've always waited till we got home or something. And I said to her, well, Sokka, you're the same. You've never done it to me either. So, you know, because she waits till we're in the car or, you know, get home and say, oh, you know. And, you know, I think that's a really good balance of accountability with grace.
Without the shame.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's no need to pull, metaphorically pull the pants down of your spouse in front of other people. So we've kept that rule. But there's things that she doesn't publicly say. But when we first got married, she said to me, Dave, you know, it's probably 6 months into our relationship. She said, why do you leave your socks and your towel on the floor after you've used it? And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, it's something mum used to pick it up after me before. And she said, no, that's not happening anymore.
Mm.
That's holding me accountable. We've got a home together and we've got to make the most of it. And even furthermore, being a parent, Jason, you mentioned something earlier about showing grace. There's something about grace that actually changes something in the child, right? And my 18-year-old, he's turning 19 this year, he went through something incredibly drastic. And it caused the whole family, ripples throughout the whole family. But my wife and I were always there for him. But during that time, he just thought we were trying to ruin his life, that we were against him. And since this moment, he's realized, oh, mom and dad have had my best interest in that. He's a different kid.
Mm.
He's listening. He's doing chores without being asked. In fact, I was so blessed yesterday. I went to fix his cracked windscreen yesterday, and he shouted me breakfast. It was the first time. I was like, whoa, this Eggs Benedict is on my, after breakfast get there, I'll buy this one. And, it, you know, I didn't care that I just paid $700 for his windscreen, but but that was a huge gesture. Like, wow, you know, like you said, grace has done something to change that. So our everyday life, this balance of the tension of letting the leash loose or holding it tight, actually extreme, letting the leash go or holding it taut to your body is something that we ask every day. So when it comes to scripture, our view on God takes a element of, does God just let the loose free, the leash free? We can do whatever we want. And we still will be with, you know,
As long as you believe in Jesus, you'll be right.
That's right. And I don't want to use the common term. I know you understand what I'm trying to say when I say this, but for the listener, this is for what they've heard through Hollywood, through popular media. Will I go to heaven? That's the question.
Mm.
What they're actually asking is, you know, eternity, is that available for me?
Mm.
And so there's this question of, can I be let loose of the leash, still go to heaven? Or is there things I have to do? Are there accountability rules and stuff that I need to stick to and I can make it to heaven? So there's this tension that we have to try and hold between these two things. But I want to open this up with a passage. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. But before we do that, I just want to plug this because this is an area that I'm really passionate about. But healthy relationships have a good balance of kindness, graciousness, and boundaries. You know, that's what good relationships are based on. But if we could read this, please.
And we're reading from the ESV today, and Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For if we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I think I said for if, but it says for we are his workmanship. So there's some popular or common verses that we read. We love that we are saved by grace through faith.
Yeah. And then it talks about, not a result of works, because it's not of our own doing.
Mm. But we're created for good works, it says in the same passage.
So what's the
same? So there's some tension there.
Yeah, is it just grace? Are we allowed to live with just grace because it's a gift from God, as this passage says? But then it holds us and says, that brings you to good works.
Yeah.
Well, what works? Is there something we have to do now?
Yeah.
Right, how does this work, for lack of a better word? But these are the things we're going to explore for the next few days. So make sure to tune in, hang about. I really hope that you're blessed and you see the more intricacies that you may not have explored with your own mind, but you're thinking, where do I sit here? Mm. Where do I sit in this balance of how loose the leash should be or how tight it should be?
And we're going to have a look at, how does our salvation work?
Yeah.
We're going to looking forward during the week. Do we choose God? Does God choose us? How does all that work? And and different ideas that have been presented throughout history. And by the end of the week, or by Thursday, we'll hopefully get to a point where we've got a good grounding in biblical understanding of this.
Absolutely.
So do stay tuned throughout the week as we progress through this topic. Stay tuned right now, though, for our free book offer for this week.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Hope for All the World is the free book offer, Bible Answers to Big Questions by Beulah Galloway. There is power in the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to let Scripture speak for itself. In this book, Hope for the World, Beulah Galloway presents Bible texts on God and His law, sin and salvation, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and man's place and purpose in the world, arranged topically for your convenience. That is our book offer. Text us in this code, TEM83, no spaces. Text TEM83 to 0488 880891. That's TEM83. Text that in to 0488 880891. May you encounter Jesus more today and each day. As we go out with Andrew Peterson, love is a good thing.
Knocked me down, it dragged me out, and left me there for dead. It Took all the freedom I wanted, gave me something else instead. Blew my mind, it bled me dry, it hit me like a long goodbye. Nobody here knows better than I that it's a good thing. Love is a good thing. It'll fall like rain on your parade. Laugh at the plans that you tried to make. Wear you down till your heart just breaks. And it's a good thing. Love is a good thing. It'll wake you up in the middle of the night. It'll take just a little too much. It'll burn you like a cinder till you're tender to the touch. It'll chase you down and swallow you whole. It'll make your blood run hot and cold like a thief in the night. It'll steal your soul, and that's a good thing. Love is a good thing. It'll follow you down to the ruins of the great divide. Open the wounds that you tried to hide. There in the rubble of the heart that died, you'll find a good thing. 'Cause love is a good thing. Ties it bind, and if you're lucky, you'll never make it out alive. And that's a good thing. Love is a good thing. It can hurt like a blast from a hand grenade when all that used to matter is blown away. There in the middle of the mess it made, you'll find a good thing. Yes, it's worth every penny of the price you pay. It's a good thing. Love is a good thing. Love is a good thing. Oh, love is a good thing. Do not fear.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.